Session is Think Global, Act Local, Community-Based Public Health Around the World. We have five presenters. They're each going to speak for approximately 15 minutes, and because of that, we need to save our questions until the end. So we'll go ahead and get started. Our first presenter is Daniel Kim with Yale University and the Yale University Chapter of Engineers Without Borders. And the title of his talk, Role of Community-Based Needs Assessment in Collaborative Engineering Projects, a Case Study in Rural West Africa. Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. So I'm Daniel, and I've been working with the Yale Chapter of Engineers Without Borders for the past few years. And today I'm going to talk about our most recent development project in rural Cameroon and the needs and the research model we adopted to evaluate it. So first, I'm going to talk about Engineers Without Borders USA and then get into what our chapter has been working on recently. I'm going to talk about a community-based health survey that we developed and how this has had an impact on our project. And in particular, I'm going to talk about how the community-based participatory research approach has had a huge impact on the success of our engineering project. So Engineers Without Borders USA is a nonprofit humanitarian organization that partners with developing communities worldwide. And it consists of chapters, and each chapter partners with a community to work with them on a small-scale infrastructure project. And chapters do a variety of projects, including water supply, sanitation, civil works, structures, energy, agriculture, and information systems. So what makes EWB programs so successful is that they're completely community-based, meaning that they're designed to be specific to the needs, resources, and constraints of each community. And a big focus on EWB is on long-term commitments between the chapter and the community. Each program is required to last at least 5 years long, and this is to ensure that chapters can continue to give oversight on operation and maintenance of the facilities, as well as provide training and education as required. Because at the end of this commitment, the community is expected to take complete ownership of the project. And this commitment goes both ways, as chapter and community are expected to provide equal effort in the development, equal input in the development effort. So as you can see, this is consistent with the CBPR framework. So now I'm going to talk about what we've been working on recently. So we're actually a group of undergraduates, and we work with a professional civil engineer on clean water supply projects. So we completed our first gravity-fed water distribution system in a village called Kiko in northwest Cameroon. And this involved identifying a clean spring as a water source for the system. And then we collected topographical data, designed this system, and built a 20,000-liter storage tank, a secondary tank, and a network of standpipes throughout the village. And the goal was to provide access to clean water and reduce the risk of waterborne illness. So currently, we've been working on a similar project in the village of Ro. It's Ro Batanga, but Ro for short. And this system, they currently have an existing system with clean water, but it suffers from frequent pipe failures, it lacks storage capacity, and it only feeds a fraction of the community, leaving the rest to fetch water from contaminated streams. So in our previous project with Kiko, we didn't systematically try to evaluate quantitatively the health impact of the system we built, and we really wanted to do this for our second project. And so we reached out to the public health community at Yale and in order to come up with a health survey that would provide us with really good baseline health data, and so with a goal of giving this health survey again after the system was finished, comparing the two data sets and find like how exactly the health has improved in the community as a result of our system. And we decided to adopt the CBPR model because it was consistent with EWB's guidelines of sustainability and equitable collaboration. So now I'm going to talk about the health survey we came up with. It contained closed-ended questions that were modeled after the Demographics and Health Survey Program. And so we asked about past 28-day prevalence of symptoms related to waterborne illness, as well as questions about water-related practices. And but we also decided to include open-ended questions asking participants to identify what they thought the community's greatest needs were. And this was expected to provide an avenue for increased for improved communication, because participants were able to express their concerns about our involvement or about the system in general in a less intimidating setting than in the community-wide meetings we were having. And this was really helpful for us, also because it allowed us to establish family-level trust in the community. And to make sure that our health survey could be properly translated into LAMSO, we incorporated a back translation process where we had a Kiko residence relative in the United States translate our survey from English to LAMSO, which is the local dialect, and then we sent that to a different Kiko resident who translated that into English, and then we compared the two to make sure that the wording was consistent. And this was really useful also because it engaged community members from the onset and emphasized that in order for this survey and this project in general to succeed, we need the input of the community members. And to ensure transparency in our work, we collaborated with existing community bodies, including an elected water committee, which had representatives from each quarter in the village, as well as the local village health center. And so we held committee meetings regularly where we talked about the intentions of our survey, and our intentions were unanimously approving of our intentions. And with the health center, we incorporated one of its leaders as our translators, and this was really helpful because when we visited with him, it was really easy for the family to, for us to earn the family's trust. And the health center in particular was really enthusiastic in working with us because they had been typically treating disease after the fact, but with us they were involved with assessment and prevention. So from these meetings, we got the sense that the entire community was willing and eager to participate, and we were able to visit nearly every household in the community. And this survey administration was a co-learning process. So as student researchers, we were gathering data on this community, but each household was also learning a lot about water-related health. In particular, as a part of our survey, we collected drinking water samples from each household and tested them for the presence of E. coli on 3M Petri films. And the Petri films ended up being a really useful teaching tool because it transformed this invisible problem of contaminated water into something that was really tangible. So now I'm going to talk about the results from the survey. So we ended up surveying 119 households, and on average, the households had about 7 people living in them, though in some polygamous quarters, several households had upwards of 30 people living in them. And on average, households had used around 70 liters of water for all activities per day. And the figure on the left is just showing the distribution of households by quarter that we visited. Notice how there's 2 big quarters and 3 smaller quarters. And on the right is the GPS data of all the households we visited. So this is showing that the symptoms related to waterborne illness were prevalent in the community. So so the percentage refers to the percent of households that had one or more children or adults suffering from one of these symptoms in the past 28 days. So this means that over a third of households had children suffering from diarrhea in the past 28 days, and similarly high numbers for fever and stomach pain across both children and adults. In addition, these numbers show the intensity of the symptoms. So these numbers are the average number of days that the symptoms would last. So across both children and adults, diarrhea, fever, and stomach pain would last upwards of 5 days on average. So as a result of the open-ended questions we asked, there was a general consensus regarding the needs of the community. One was that the very first was the water system, so this kind of validated our presence in the community, and as well as electricity. And they also identified roads, improved healthcare facilities, and secondary schools as needs for the community. And interestingly, We found that the vast majority of the people we surveyed felt that in order to address these needs, they would need to depend on external groups like Engineers Without Borders. These are the water quality testing results we got from the survey. So out of the 119 households we surveyed, 29% of them were fetching their drinking water from a contaminated stream, whereas 70% of them were fetching water from the clean standpipes. And as you would expect, the rates of E. coli contamination in the drinking water samples were higher for the groups that got water from the contaminated stream. But even still, of the people, of the households who were reporting that they got their water from the clean standpipes, over half of their drinking water samples were contaminated. And we think this is because the community members are not regularly disinfecting their vessels, and over time, biofilms can grow on the inner walls of the containers. And so we think that this might be able to explain why the rates of diarrhea are actually not significantly different between the households that got water from the dirty source and households that got water from the clean source. And so some lessons we learned and what we're working on now. So we found that CBPR was really crucial in being able to establish this relationship with the community. And this made it really easy for us to gather really good quality data that we wanted. And this data led us to see that there's significant point of use contamination that we need to address in order for the health benefits of this engineering project to be realized. And so it led to this vessel disinfection trial that we began in May, where so CBPR allowed for a diffusion type model where willing community members are serving as dissemination agents for vessel disinfection techniques. And the people we approached about the vessel cleaning were really enthusiastic about sharing this information with their peers and taking action to improve the health in their households. And so if we hadn't adopted a framework that involved regular communication and transparency, it wouldn't have affected our ability to build a system and provide clean water, but we're confident that the community would have interacted with us differently and would not be able to carry out the behavioral changes that we found are necessary to make sure that the health benefits of the system are realized. So in order for the rates of waterborne illness to decrease in the community, we need to propagate a higher standard of water handling practices, and we feel that this challenge is uniquely addressed by CBPR. So this is the end of my talk. I'd just like to say that our work would not be possible without our chapter and faculty mentors, as well as our partners in Cameroon. So thank you.